Welcome to this week's edition of Dugout Dish Podcast. I'm Andy Kirikides, joined here by my co-host, Coach Glasser. Coach, how we doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm good, man. Looking forward to answering a few more listeners' questions today, and we'll see what road this takes us down. But today we're going to talk about a couple things. One of them being the topic of whether you should play with your grad year or whether you should play with your age group. And this is actually a fairly interesting question. So we're going to dive into that. And then we're also going to touch on, we won't put it too bluntly, but maybe we will, how not to get ripped off at showcase events and some of the fundamentals that we think are really important from a personal perspective to make sure that you're setting yourself up for success and that you're also spending your money wisely when it comes to some of these showcase opportunities. So we'll kick it off with the grad year versus age group thing. And this is an interesting one because you've got, you know, you get recruited with your grad class, but some of these guys in a grad class, they qualify to play an age group lower. So for example, 2025s right now are typically for the summer, at least they'll move up a year come this fall, but they're typically 16U, right? So you're looking for kids who are 16 or under at a certain age cutoff. But some of those guys who are 2025s qualify to play for the 15U. And I think that's kind of what we're trying to get at. That was one of the questions that we got via Instagram is like, can you cover this topic? So Keith, I'm going to kick it over to you, get your thoughts, and then I'll chime in. I think we're on the same page with this though.
Yeah, I mean, I think the easy thing is to play with your age, but I think the more recruitable answer is to play with your grad class, right? You know, you could play down. It's not playing down, right? Because you're playing with your age. But I think in some regards, when you do that, like you're, especially with the new recruiting rules and the way things are going, you're just going to completely get overlooked. And I, you know, it might be a bit harsh to say completely overlooked, but if they're recruiting the 2025 class and you're playing with the 2026s, but you graduate in 2025, it's going to be, well, like they're not watching 26s, they watch 25s and you got missed. Like there's going to be some one-offs and they'll probably catch it maybe towards the tail end of the summer and the fall. But you kind of put yourself a little bit behind the eight ball in not playing with your grad class because they're not out recruiting 26s or 27s as we get going. And, you know, so there's more that, you know, you're going to have to do on the back end versus just playing with your grad class from the beginning is my stance.
Yeah, I agree. I think with the new recruiting rules, I think it becomes even more important that you play with your grad class for exactly what you're talking about. Like if you're 2025 right now, but you qualify to play with that 15U, which is going to be mostly, I don't know, 85, 90% 2026s. Like at this point, even the big dogs, you know, the SEC and the ACC, like they don't care about 26s right now. The new rules, they don't need to spend time there. So they're going to go to tournaments where it's vastly 2025s. They're going to go to showcases where it's vastly 2025s. And if you're playing on a team of 26s and you're a 25, you're probably pitching in a place that isn't going to get a ton of coverage or playing in a place that isn't going to get a ton of coverage. Now, you know, there's some argument to be made that if you can play on the 2026 national team of one of the bigger organizations, like maybe there's some value there. But I think that at the end of the day, you're getting judged against your grad class regardless. And that if you can play with a group of players that are in your grad class and you're playing in tournaments that are going to be populated with individuals that are of your grad class, where coaches are migrating there to watch players in that grad class, you're going to give yourself a better chance to get seen. So if you're capable of playing at that level, then yeah, you should probably be playing at that level. If you're a guy who's not necessarily recruitable right now, and you're probably, you know, say you're 20, 25, and you're playing on that 15U, which will be a 16U team this fall, yeah, it probably doesn't hurt you that much. Go play where you're going to actually play games, right? I think that's probably the nuance of this is if you go and play with the 2025 group and you don't play because everybody's better than you, you're probably better off going to get games. But that takes some recognition that you're not ready to get recruited yet. And, you know, sometimes that's a tough pill to swallow, but we've talked about this a million times. Playing games, it's a priceless commodity and you need to take advantage of being able to do it. So you got to have that honest conversation with yourself that if you're going to play with the younger players, you need to play and you need to be okay with, you're probably not going to get seen by guys who are recruiting your particular grad class at the moment. You need to just focus on development and getting innings under your belt and getting at bats under your belt.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing that you need to have that honest feedback and somebody in your corner who's going to say like, hey, this is going to be a good idea for you to play with your age and more or less play down for the summer. But, you know, in the hopes that you're going to get a ton of innings, you're going to get a lot better, but you're going to have to put in some work in the fall, you know, in order to kind of get to campuses and see some, get to some camps so that you can get on the radar of some coaches that may have not been able to get out and see you play because they weren't going to 26s games all year or all summer. You know, they were sitting on 25 games and they didn't get a chance to see you play, which is, you know, that's normal in any recruiting cycle, right? Like, you know, unless you're at the Division I level, like you're not really, you're kind of sitting just senior year to senior year on one grad class. You know, so if you are playing down and you end up being, you know, a Division III guy, like there's a good chance that they may not have seen you play because they're not going out and watching 26s play at all. They're only going to be sitting on 24s really. And then maybe some 25s. You know, so there's a little bit of a difference there. It just means that on the tail end of the summer, you know, if you have spent the summer playing in the 26s and you're a 25, like that just means you should sign up for some camps at some campuses that you are interested in going to, that you've heard from, that you've sent information to, and get in front of them before the winter. That way they get a chance to get to see you up close and personal. You know, they can work with you. You can work with them. You can figure out like, yeah, this is going to work, or, you know, I don't really like this, the vibe of this staff. And then moving forward, you're going to be able to make a little bit of a better informed decision. And they're going to be able to say like, hey, this dude kind of fits what it is we're looking for from a program standpoint. So we're going to follow up a little bit more in the spring and the summer, or right away you can get the feedback of, hey, it's, you know, we're pretty far apart on what it is we're looking for from a player standpoint. Like, you're not the guy right now. You need to go get bigger, faster, stronger, whatever. But you have that feedback, but you're going to want that before you go into the winter, instead of going in blind and thinking, you know, wondering why you're not getting recruited or why you're not hearing back, or, you know, what it is that you need to do to get better. It's just going to make it a little bit more work on your end in the fall.
Yeah. And I think the other piece of this too, is you got to understand what you're getting out of it, right? If you're not, I mean, let's cut it real straight. Like, what, 2.2% is the number that they throw out for Division I players.
Right.
I would say less than half of those guys who are going to end up being Division I players will be committed before the end of this calendar year. Probably, ballpark like 30% of the best players. So if you're a 25 that isn't quite recruitable yet, and you have a chance to play a lot more games with that 26 group, and you can swallow the pill that it's about getting better, playing matters and being able to get those at bats matters, and you don't necessarily need to get seen. And this is going to dovetail into what we're going to talk about later, but you got to be recruitable before you can get recruited. You know, and this is something that we talk about with the guys that we work with, is don't worry about timelines. Don't worry about who's talking to you. Don't worry about Twitter. Don't worry about Instagram. Worry about getting better. We'll be able to get feedback. You'll be able to get feedback. We'll be able to figure out putting a plan together for you for the off season to close the gap so that come springtime, when the vast majority of kids are going to get recruited, that you're in a position where you're a recruitable player. And, you know, these timelines happen differently for everybody. So if playing matters and you have an opportunity to play significant innings or throw significant innings with that younger group, and you're okay with, you know, not being in front of a ton of evaluators, then go play games and go play that. But if you are a guy who's a legitimately recruitable player this fall, you need to play with your grad class. That would be, if I was going to kind of cut it like super straight black and white, like if you're a legitimate Division I player right now, you need to play with your grad class. Don't get sold on national teams. Don't get sold on all this other stuff. You need to play where coaches are going to be to recruit you, because coaches aren't running around trying to see a bunch of 26s right now because they don't have to. They'll get information from travel ball coaches and, you know, us, you know, if there's a really good 26, like these guys will know about them, but they're not going to spend their time on a guy that they can't talk to for a calendar year. You know, they'll check in on them. They'll get information on them. They'll see them when they can see them. But, you know, if you're 25 and you can legitimately play, you need to play with your grad class, period. And if you can't, then you just need to focus on playing and just go enjoy playing baseball and focus on getting better.
I think that's the ultimate thing, right? And I think that's what we're driving at here. Like, even if you're, you know, the ultimate goal is that you're continually getting better, you know, and we've had this conversation with a lot of guys we work with where, you know, it's, you're better off getting innings in some instances, and in most instances, really, like you're better off getting more innings on the field or on the mound than you would be playing up or, you know, playing with your grad year and maybe not playing at all. Because maybe you are a tad bit behind from a physical standpoint, and that's fine. Like, everyone develops at different rates in this game. But understanding that the more you can physically play and be on the field, the better off it is for you and your recruitment moving forward. Because there's no, you know, there's no substitute for actually being able to play. And the flip side to it is, like, you can't get recruited by sitting on the bench. Like, there's not a college coach in the country who's going to show up and be like, yeah, I'll take this kid. I know he had 7 at-bats on his summer team, but no, he's really good. I really like him, and that's what we're going to roll with. Because it's not true. They're going to find people who play all the time, who can do what it is that they're looking to do for their program. And if they don't see you actually do it and they don't have an opportunity to project out where they think you're going to fit into their program, they're not going to recruit you. And that's just the reality, because at the end of the day, it ends up being around 7% that are going to go to Division I, II, or III. Now, we're excluding JUCOs and NAIAs out of that, you know, so the number is probably a little bit higher of kids who are actually going to go play college baseball in one way, shape, or form, you know, but we're still probably talking about, you know, around 10% of high school seniors, maybe. You know, so that means 90% aren't going to make it to college to play college baseball. You know, so you have to be able to, one, be good, and you have to be able to be on the field to play. You know, so as long as, like, you're not going to get recruited if you're not on the field to play. It's just going to mean that your timeline and what it is that you need to do in order to be recruited is going to change a little bit more than kind of the straightforward, like, hey, they showed up and saw me play, and I went to this showcase and they saw me play, whatever it might be. You know, you might be more of the showcase camp type recruitment versus the they saw me play in the summer with my summer team and they liked me there and then I went to camp. You know, it's more like they're going to identify you at a showcase or a camp. It is more likely what's going to happen there. Not to say that that's the only way to do it, but that's the likely route in this scenario. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's kids who are playing right now who didn't get any calls on August 1st. And this is the truth. Like, this isn't to make people feel good about where they're at. But there's plenty of kids who didn't get a call right now who nobody knows about, who are going to go into the offseason and they're going to get after it, and they're not worried about all the other stuff that they can't control. They're going to grow an inch. They're going to put on 15 pounds. They're going to go have a good high school season. And come June or July, they're going to be sorting through Division I offers. that's not an outlier scenario. I think it's actually more commonplace than more people think.
Right.
But that's a kid that isn't worried about all the other stuff, what team you play on, or just worried about getting better. So kind of a roundabout way, again, back to what we were talking about, but just focus on developing, focus on what you can control and go from there. And it works out for the kids who do that. It really does. One way or another, the kids who are just head down trying to be as good as they can, you know, it usually works out for those kids.
Right. You know, so I think to put a bow on it for us, if you play with your grad class, you should. But if you're not going to get a bunch of burn, play with your age. Get a bunch of burn, get better.
Agreed. All right. Topic number two. How not to get ripped off at showcases or events. it's a not so gentle way of putting it, but listen, fact of the matter is that some of these showcase stuffs, they cost a lot of money, and travel baseball costs enough as it is. You know, I don't know all the prices, but you know, $4,000 or $5,000 to play for a summer. You know, you're looking at some of these showcase camps, $1,000 a pop. Probably want to spend your money wisely. And I don't think it matters how much money you have. You want to be smart about how you do it. You want to make sure that the dollars that you're spending, that you got some sort of a return on investment in terms of what you're doing there. And I think it first starts with the evaluation of your travel team. Let's be honest, there's a ton of them out there. They are not all created equal. Some of them are, for lack of a better term, a little bit of a pyramid scheme, and you got to know where you fit in that pyramid as a player, what team you're playing for and where you're going and the coaches and, you know, what that's going to entail. So I encourage families to make sure that you do your research on the travel teams you're playing for, and don't worry so much about the name on the front of the uniform. But make sure that you're playing for coaches in an organization that's invested in the player, that it's not just about going to tournaments and being able to say we went to Georgia or we went to Hoover, but having an honest conversation about where you fit in the grand scheme of this and making sure that your team that you're playing for is going to play in tournaments and play in locations, whether it's team camps or showcase camps or, you know, the Boston invite, whatever it is. Make sure they're going to be in a place that you can actually get seen. You know, it's great if you go to Hoover, but if you're not a player who's going to get recruited by the teams that migrate to Hoover, then what's the point of going? You're just spending money to go. You're just spending thousands of dollars on hotels to go play 4 or 5 games, and nobody's going to be there to watch you play. And that's, yeah, it might seem a little abrasive, but I think at a certain point you got to trim the fat and you got to really look at this for what it is. And you know, I think it's where it starts for parents from a money spending perspective, is know who you're getting involved with from a travel perspective and make sure that their goals and the culture and philosophy of that program is going to match with what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been, well, I shouldn't say I've never been. That would be a lie. So I'm not going to say that. I coached 1 year of summer high school baseball with the South Troy Dodgers. We won the state championship. No big deal. That was in 2010, I think. So, I mean, we're going back 13, 14 years at this point in time. And I honestly don't know how much it cost then. But I got a call the other day from a family friend of ours who was, you know, shopping around for her son who's in eighth grade. Going into eighth grade, and the cheapest travel team was like $2,500. And I was shook, like, you know, and she called me to ask for advice. And I asked, you know, what did you ask? And she's like, well, I asked for, like, you know, what am I getting out of this? Which I thought was incredibly smart. You know, and it's, and this, people might've take offense to this, but like, it's just a dad who coaches the team who's never really coached before. And you're paying for winter workouts somewhere. And this is all on top of, you know, this isn't even your travel, your hotels, your meal, like all of that stuff when you get into the summer. You know, so obviously it's a far larger expense than just the $2,500 is to play on the team. You know, but to your point, like I think one of the things that you need to actually think about when you're shelling out this much money for a baseball team, and this is an eighth grade team, right? Like, I mean, these kids aren't even close to being recruitable. Nobody's going to come watch these kids play for years, especially under the new rules. And quite frankly, as a college coach, a former college coach, like I never cared what you did in eighth grade, right? Like I never recruited a kid because he was really good in eighth grade. Just doesn't happen. You know, but the, you know, you have to find out like what type of development and what they're going to do to help your son get to the point where he's going to be the best baseball player that he can be. And I'm not saying there's not good baseball coaches out there. I certainly know that there's a plenty of baseball coaches out there that I've never heard of that are pretty good. You know, but at the end of the day, like I think there's a stark difference between being a coach and staying up on current trends and legitimately trying to be really good at your craft and just kind of, I played baseball a while ago and you know, I kind of know what's going on and I watch the Yankees. So I follow some people on Twitter and I can develop you. And that's not true. It's just simply not true, right? Like you can only be so good at developing people on a baseball field if you do that as a career, right? Like think about it, like when we were college coaches, like that was our career. There's only like I put hours and hours and hours and hours into me being a really good baseball coach, and there's only so much that you can do. So if this is a side gig for you, like, and I'm not like, it's going to be for a lot of people, and I get that, that's fine, but like you're going to want to find people who are going to help your son develop into a really good baseball player. This doesn't mean that, you know, they're not out there, because they are. I know that there are. But you should ask those types of questions of like, who is going to do the coaching? Like, what are, you know, what's the resume look like? What have you done? Like, is this your first time ever coaching? Like that those are legitimate questions when you start talking about this amount of money. Right. Like when you start talking about $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 to play in the summer, like you better have dudes who can legitimately coach baseball for your kids, because you're not the only one. Right. Like there's another 15, 16 kids on that team. That's a lot of money. Like we better get somebody who can really develop our son into a baseball player that is going to be the best version of himself and hopefully get himself recruited. But I think that's like, it starts with understanding those are the types of things that you're going to want to know, you know, not just, well, you know, they have a track record, and because they like, you're going to want the same coach there every week, right? You don't want the interchangeable organization that like they have, you know, 30 coaches and someone just shows up to the weekend games. Like you're going to want somebody who's going to know your son, who's going to help him develop throughout the course of the entire, like if you have winter workouts, he's there at winter workouts. You're playing in the summer, he's there in the summer. Like you want that same person, not a, you know, not a interchangeable mix of a bunch of different guys, because we're all over the place. You know, so you want an organization that can provide that for you. If they can't, then go look somewhere else. You know, I know some people frown upon that nowadays of, you know, they jump around, but I mean, if you're not getting out of this organization what you're paying and putting in, then you reserve the right to go somewhere else where you can get that. Because they've made it a business, right? Like yeah, they've made it absolutely a business. So you have like, you reserve the right to go do that now.
Absolutely. And I think one of the big things for me, especially if you're young, you know, 13, 14, 15, do they practice? Like you go play tournaments Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but what are you doing on Tuesday and Wednesday? That's where development happens, right? The games are fantastic and you need to play. But if they're not coaching those kids in the game, like if you don't see the coach pulling a kid aside after he makes a base running error and explaining to him what he did and what he needs to do next time, right? Or when they mess up a cut and relay or in the wrong spot on the field, or whatever the random baseball situation is, that's a coachable moment, a teachable moment. If those coaches aren't doing that, that's a red flag. Because when you're 13 years old and when you're 14 years old, learning how to play the game is the most important thing, because the physical piece, it's going to happen at its own pace, right? Like, you see 14-year-olds who grow 6 inches in a year and a half, right? That kid's whole physical scope is changed completely, but he needs to still learn how to play the game. So if they're not practicing and these coaches aren't coaching them, right? And I'm not talking about calling pitches, like, in that BS. Like, you know, coaches like to take control and, like, well, we coach them because we have signs and we call pitches. Like, that's not coaching. Coaching is explaining to a kid why something happened on the field and how to correct it moving forward, right? You do that in college. You do that with grown-ass men, where you break it down in practice that you were here and this wasn't the right place to be. We need you to be here so that in the game, you know where you're supposed to be so we can execute this effectively. If they're doing it at the college level and they're not doing that with your 13 or 14 year old son, that's a red flag to me, right? That's one. The second thing is, and this is straight to the parents. If you are sold on your son getting recruited as a 14 year old, you're looking at the wrong things. You're worried about the wrong stuff, because nobody's recruiting 14 and 15 year olds anymore. And if you're that freaking good, then so be it. You're going to get recruited anyways. But for your 14 and your 15 year old son with the new recruiting rules, if you're worried about recruiting exposure and recruiting connections, and you're not worried about development and making sure that your son or your daughter enjoys showing up every day, you need to take a step back and think about where you sit in this process and what's really important to you. Because if your kid's good enough, they'll get recruited. But if that's the focus as a freshman in high school, I think you have your priorities wrong. And that might be too straightforward for some people, but I think it's more relevant now with the new recruiting rules than it ever was before. And it didn't change before. But if that's your primary focus for playing travel baseball when you're 13 and 14 years old, even 15 years old, is exposure, you need to take a look in the mirror and ask yourself, are you doing this for them or are you doing it for you?
Fair. I mean, there's especially with the new rules, there's no, can't get contact, can't get offers. Like, doesn't matter. You need to get bigger, faster, stronger, and better. Now, the flip side to this is, and a lot of the coaches, and I believe this too, that we've had on, like, we've gotten really good at training, right? Like, we've gotten really good at doing these types of things. Like, you still need to be able to play. And this is where we get to this point of, like, you know, I think that we're a little bit of an impasse in our game right now, is that we have gotten really, really good at training. We're not as good at playing the game of baseball as we are at training it. And this is where you need people who can legitimately help you get better from a baseball standpoint, a pure baseball playing the game standpoint, right? Like, and, you know, and Joe said this, like, and I believe I love high school baseball coaches. They have a lot on their plate. There's a lot of people who do this, but, like, you know, there's something to be said about watching somebody, and it's a stark difference. Like, you can watch teams and you see the coaches that'll pull aside kids on a, you know, hey, there's a runner on second. They wheeled him home. We had no shot. We sailed the throw anyways. Now we let that runner go to second base. They pull him off. Like, hey, we got to keep double play in order there. Like, we have no shot at home on that ball. We got to keep double play in order to keep that guy off second base. Next ball was a ground ball. We had a chance to turn two. Instead, we get one. It's more pitches. It's more everything. Like, it keeps going versus the, you know, we don't even talk about it when it's clearly the wrong decision made in that game. And it's little things like that, that, you know, I think that, you know, when you coach this game for a long time, like those are things that, you know, those are things that you harp on. Those are things that we talked about in practice every day when I was a coach at RPI. If we were intersquatting, we had coach pitch, whatever it was we were doing, like we would be super aggressive during practice to force errors on defense for the main reason of, I want to see a screw up. Because the more that we can screw up in practice, the more that we can make this hard, the easier it's going to be in game. When we're constantly put in tough situations, it becomes natural to us to be in those tough situations. It's not a foreign thing that we have to do anymore. And you can sink back into that when you get in the game. All of a sudden, the lights are on, everyone's watching, not a big deal anymore. Because we've already done this plenty of times. We know what we need to do. You know, and I think that like, There's a lack of that when we actually get into playing, because we're not practicing in the summer. We're not playing a ton. You know, we've gotten away from that a little bit. And I think that that's where, you know, there is a struggle, because this game, like, let's face it, this game takes a lot of time, and there's a lot that you have to cover if you are trying to legitimately practice baseball and play, right? Like, you get to college, it's 6 days a week with an optional seventh in there sometimes. But like, you're legit 6 days a week playing, practicing. Like, there's so much that you have to cover, and it's hard to do that, I think, in the summer. And I think it's hard to, you know, for some of these organizations to ask families to do it, right? Like, this is it's a 6 day commitment for people. And I like, that is what you get yourself into when you get into college. You know, but I don't know. I agree with you. Like, I think if you're worried about exposure at such a young age, you're missing the point on what it's actually going to help your son get better to actually get the exposure he needs as he gets older. Like, you need the development and the playing piece before you can actually go get exposure.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the other thing for me, this always hits home, is like, don't be good at drills, be good at playing. Like, drills have their purpose. They absolutely do. There's routines and there's drills that are really important for development, whether you're an infielder, whether you're a hitter, whether you're a catcher, you know, whether you're a pitcher, there are pieces of the puzzle that help you develop. But the goal isn't to be good at drills. The goal is to be good at playing. And those practice reps and those game reps are so important. And we've become, from a baseball perspective, very skill specific focused. And the kids who can take those skills into the game and actually play fast and play the game, they're the ones who stick out like sore thumbs. Not the kids who are really good at doing their cone drills as infielders, but as soon as the ball is moving at them and there's a guy running down the baseline, they have a really tough time playing at the speed that they need to play at. And, you know, that'd be another piece of the puzzle. If I'm giving advice to, you know, to parents who are looking at travel teams, is like, don't get caught up on the drill instruction, right? Like, are they going to make him a better baseball player? And that's not just the 30-minute hitting lesson where you hit off the tee for 15 minutes, right? It's, you know, is that guy going to bring you in? And is he going to talk you through situations? Is he going to challenge your son in the batting cage with some game velocity? Like, what are they doing to make your kid better? If that's what you're really looking for, right? If it's just fun for your kid and you want him to get in there and he enjoys working with a coach, that's different. But I think you just kind of got to look at it objectively about what you're trying to get out of it. And I think it starts with the culture and the organization you're with and what they're about, and then having enough, like, being able to get your ego out of the way as a parent and realize your son's not getting recruited at 14. Like, make sure they're having fun and make sure they're around good people. If you do that and they're good enough, they'll get recruited when they're 16 and when they're 17. Yeah. You see like a 27 show up to a showcase this summer. Like, if you're a parent and you sent your kid to a showcase this summer and he's a 27 and you're listening to this, I'm sorry, but you wasted your money. Like, yeah. Nobody's recruiting a 27. It's just, it's not how it works anymore. Like, spend that on
development
or take them to a
membership.
yeah, like there's just better ways you could spend your money and spend your time rather than sending them to some random, you know, sunshine, Southeast Texas, perfect game event. You know, take them to the, you know, take them to a big league game and buy them a couple extra hot dogs or something. I don't know, but like, they don't need to go to that. Like,
no. And I think the other part too, is to, you know, especially if some of these organizations that you're playing for are established, like see how many guys they've had that have gotten to the next level, no matter what level that is, whether it's, you know, Division 1, 2, 3, NAI, JUCO, how many guys have played in that organization that have played professionally. You know, and it's generally going to speak to, you know, what type of organization they are and how they go about what it is that they do, right? Like if you know, and I played for the South Troy Dodgers, here in upstate New York. You know, it's one of the better summer organizations, I think, in the state of New York. You know, but at this point, I mean, right now, I think there's four current big leaguers, like legitimately playing right now. Tommy Canley, Kevin Smith, Zach Remillard, Tom Murphy. There's a handful of guys that are in, you know, AAA and a lot of guys who are playing pro ball and a ton of guys who have played Division 1, 2, 3 baseball. You know, that type of track record of an organization who can kind of say like, hey, this is what we've done. We've gotten guys to all levels of college baseball, professionally, everything. Like there's a track record there of them doing something correctly. You know, I'm not talking about the one-offs you'll see on social media, on Twitter and Instagram, of, you know, Andy Kirikides wore our jersey for the Columbus Day bash. Congratulations on the draft. Like, no. Like, it's spare me. Like,
yeah, they developed kids. They had kids in the organization that
he wore our jersey on the MLK Classic. Like, beat it. Like, enough of this, okay? Like, this is legitimately for you to be like, oh, we've had, like, no, dude, you didn't do anything. You know, but I think when you can establish that with, you know, I'm not saying that every organization has to do that, right? But like, there should be, if they're charging you some money, there should be something there that says like, this is what it's worth, like, this is why it's worth it. Because we're going to be able to develop, we're going to be able to do this, you're going to get the same coaches, and look what we've done with other people. We've gotten guys we've helped get them to these places in the past. Not saying it's going to be in the cards for you, but we've helped get kids here because of what it is we're capable of doing. You know, so I think that there's that piece to it too, is what track record does that organization have in helping develop and get kids to the next level?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I think is interesting, and there are definitely some organizations who do this and do this really well, is how many of those kids were in the organization for multiple years? Because I think that's a huge piece of the puzzle, that like, they were there for multiple years. Well, they probably developed in that organization. And we know there's a lot of organizations that, you know, they pay kids to come and play for them, right? So they can make it look flashy, right? But, you know, when you're making accommodations for 20 future ACC players to play in your organization, like, yeah, it's going to look good, but don't get that confused with development, right? Because there's a space for those teams. There certainly is. And like, there's some organizations who at the top level, they do a fantastic job of getting a really talented group of kids together, and they go and they play in these tournaments, and it's great. But most of those kids were recruited before they got there, or it was just a matter of time. Look for an organization. If you're not one of those premier guys, look for an organization that has players who've been in that organization for multiple years that have developed there. I think that's a key piece of the puzzle. Like, did that 25, was he there as a 15 and a 14U kid? And did you see that kid go from, you know, 14U to 15U to 16U to Division I scholarship? Like, that speaks to me. There's some development going on there, and it's not just a collection of really talented kids who show up on the weekend to play with each other, but there's something going on in that organization where they're clearly committed to the development of that kid. And I mean, South Georgia certainly checks that box because you're dealing with, for the most part, it was almost exclusively local. Like, so those kids, you know, and right. We know a bunch of them, but like, those are the organizations that they may not get all the flash and the glamour, but at the end of the day, the substance is there. And that's what it's about. Like, it's about the substance and like, what are you getting out of it?
Right. And I think that you have, you know, it's not, I'm using the Dodgers, the South Georgia Dodgers, because they're my, like, it's where I played. You know, but it's also one of those, you know, there's not a, at least to my knowledge, that like there's, it's not like an 8U through 18U organization either, right? Like it's like when I played, it was 16 and 18. That was it. There was two teams. They've since added a handful more, but you know, it's not, it's not the kind of that like 8U through 18U, whatever it is. You know, but it's, I just think that like when you're looking for places, and again, I use them because that's where I played, like you're going to want to look for programs that have a track record of, you know, being able to actually develop guys and help them get to the next level, you know, through, you know, their contacts and their coaching and their development and everything it is that they're capable of doing, versus, you know, kind of the, you know, startup organization with a couple dads who want to start this team because wanted to do it, and then you know you get to recruitable age and there's not really a plan for anything because we've never done this and we don't necessarily know what we're doing, you know, which, you know, we've heard those stories, so you know it's a real thing that has happened and can happen, and you want to avoid that as best you can.
And we've, so the other part of this, of the other part of the not getting ripped off conversation, cannot laugh at that. is like camps and showcases, right? And we've hit on this before, but we'll try to put this as bluntly as possible. You have to look in the mirror and honestly assess if you're a recruitable player relative to your grade and relative to your timeline. Like if you're 2025 right now, and you throw 73 miles an hour, you don't need to spend $1,000 to go to a showcase in September. Go get better. Go get in the weight room. Go with a pitching coach that you really trust. Focus on getting better because you're not a recruitable player right now. And that's okay, right? It's okay because your race isn't done September of your junior year of high school. It's far from done. The other thing is you got to make sure that you do your research on the product that you're going to get, because they are not all created. All these showcases and stuff, they are not all created equal. And you need to reach out to some resources, maybe some people who've been to some of these different events, and you need to get honest opinions on the quality of the event, the organization of the event, the attentiveness of the coaches that are there, really simple stuff. Like at the end of the day, no matter what event you go to, you need to perform if you want to get recruited. It doesn't matter. Like whether you go to Georgia for the WWBA or you go to Head First in Long Island, if you don't play well, you're not going to get recruited. Right. Like that's, you know, you got to do something that people value, but you can stack the chips in your favor by doing a little bit of research and understanding the product that you're going to get on the backside of this when you're starting to pay, you know, $800,000, $900,000 to go and showcase yourself.
Yeah. I lived this life for a while, right? You know, there's a lot of good that comes out of a lot of these showcases, but at the same time, you know, there's, from an insider's perspective, there's a lot of not so good. You know, and I think in part you have an overarching issue that we're not going to get into today. You know, but when you start creeping into the upper echelon of prices on some of these showcases that you have, you know, and especially some of the ones where coaches are working, they're getting paid to be there. Right. So like, you know, that my belief is that they should be doing stuff and paying attention. I will say this, and this is 100% true. When you're on the field at 6 a.m. and you don't get off the field until 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 p.m., like, it's hard to lock in and watch everything it is that you need to see over the course of 13, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 hours. Like, it just is. It's the reality of what it is. That said, it doesn't make it right. Right? Like, especially when you're paying $1,200, like, you want to get a fair shake of being seen. You know, so I've said this for a very long time, and I've said it on here before, like, and I'll continue to say it, like, you need to do your research on the front end when you, no matter what showcase or camp you're going to, whether it's on campus, whether it's a private showcase, like a PBR, perfect game, whatever, whether it's a private camp series where you have coaches that are going to be on the field working, like, you need to do your research on the front end to figure out whether or not that's going to be a place that you should be at. Not only do you have to legitimately realize that you need to be recruitable, but to your point earlier, like, if you're a 2026 or a 2027, like, there's no real point for you to be at showcases at all this summer. No one's talking to you. No one's recruiting you. Like, they can't talk to you for a while. You're better off taking all of that money and sinking it into development and getting yourself bigger, faster, stronger, so that when it comes your time during your, you know, post sophomore year of high school, or even your junior year in high school, like, you are the best version of what you need to be in order to put your best foot forward to be recruited. Because you're going to have a lot of guys who their timeline is going to be a little bit longer now because of the rule change. Like, there's no reason to go spend all your money at these camps. Like, there's going to be, like, there's friends of mine that are going to be mad that I'm saying this, but it's the truth. Like, you don't need to be at those camps. You also should go to camps that are well run and well organized and are gone about the right way.
Yeah. I mean, if you're desperate to go to a camp or some sort of a showcase event, or where you think you're going to get recruited, pick a college campus event where you're going to get coached and you're going to do drill work and you're going to learn how to play. That's one of my favorite things about, you know, some of the on-campus camps, is that it's a smaller venue. You're going to get more personal attention. There's always an instructional component to it.
A legitimate instructional component.
Legitimate.
Like, there's time carved out throughout the court, like a good, like, 45 minutes to an hour each day carved out where you're going to go over defensive stuff or offensive stuff. Like, there's a lot of time carved out. It's not this gaff, like, 15 minute thing so that we satisfy the NCAA rule. Like, you're actually going to learn something, multiple things, from the coaches that are there.
Yeah. Not, if you're a pitcher,
you know, oh, it's the NCAA rule that you have to have some instruction. So, like, we're going to go spend 15 minutes over here to talk about some receiving stuff catching wise and move on with our lives.
No, when you're at one of those camps and there's, you know, there's six catchers, they take you down the left field line and you do 35, 40 minutes of drill work. You got better that day. You may have walked home with a drill that you can use. You probably got coached up a little bit. Like, if you're a pitcher and they take you down to the bullpen and that coach walks you through his team's arm care routine, or he sits you down and he talks about philosophies of how to prepare for and execute a bullpen, like, you got better that day. Right. If there's a hitting portion of it and you got introduced to a new drill that you really like, you got better that day. You're not going to get this at these bigger showcases. And so if you're desperate to do it with your eyes on getting better. And you can go and do that at one of these college camps, on campus college camps, and you can learn from some coaches. And you can get some feedback. You can start to figure out where you fit in the grand scheme of things. Like, you'll start to see how big of a gap there is between you and the guys who are clearly getting recruited by that school. You have something to work for. Like, there's value in that. But
and I'll tell you flat out, like, you can go to a showcase or a camp and you can reach out to the, like, you can talk to the coach on the field and be like, what do you think? Because it's happened. If I had a dollar for every time it happened, I would not be looking at the Mega Millions $1.6 billion pool. You're generic response is always like, yeah, we're just gonna have to see a little bit more, especially when you're younger, right? Like like you're paying all this money for me to tell you like, yeah, we just got to see it more, so it's a tad bit, in some regards for younger kids, it is, it's just the reality, because like you do need to get bigger, faster, stronger, but if you need the feedback and the advice, like then you're right. Go to an on-campus camp. I'm not saying that all these camps are terrible and horrible and you shouldn't go do it. Like they're not, but the reality is like, you need to know what it is that you're getting yourself into and then what it is you're going to get out of it from a baseball in recruitment standpoint, especially if you're on the younger side of being recruited based off of how much money these things are starting to cost. If they're like, you start seeing them creep up, like you better be getting stuff out of this other than, hey, we just got to see more.
Yeah. I mean, if you're at the back end of your recruiting timeline and you need to get a bunch of eyes on you, yeah, go ahead. Go play well. Right. I get it. If you're a very good player and you're going to stick out at that event, you're a 2025. Go. Like, if you have the money to spend and it fits your timeline and you like the schools that are going to be at the event and somebody's giving you good information that you're recruitable based on the timeline of where you're at as a player, go do it. It can be worth the money. It can absolutely be worth the money. If you ask somebody, if you spend $1,000 to get a college scholarship, they're going to bet on that every time. I don't have an issue with any of that. I have an issue with people showing up, spending $1,000 and they walked into that event thinking they were going to get something out of it that they were never going to get out of it. And it just takes a little bit of honest reflection. It takes somebody in your corner willing to tell you something that you might not necessarily want to hear, but is the truth, so that you can invest that money better. And then if you have to spend that money later on in the process, it's going to be better spent because you're going to be more prepared for that situation. And you're going to put yourself in a situation where you're more recruitable in a venue like that, because in a venue like that, the gameplay stuff doesn't usually stick out. It's usually just raw ability. Can you run? Can you hit the ball far? Can you throw the ball hard? So for those tweener guys, you're probably better off making sure that you're going to play in a venue that's going to play multiple games. It's not going to be so highlighted on the showcase portion, right? If you're that 7-0 runner who's a really, really good player, you need to make sure that you get a chance to show that off in a game, right? The guy who's the 6'6 is going to get the eyes on him because he ran the 6'6, right? So understanding where you fit and how you can showcase yourself, like, that's really important.
Right. And I mean, if you're playing, if you're playing the showcase camp games where it's, you might only play, if you're a middle guy, like you might only play the field for 4 innings. And, if you don't get a ball hit to you, what was the point? You spent, and that's going to happen in a regular game, right? But, to your point, you have to know, we're only playing 2 games and I'm going to end up playing in the field for 8 innings. Like, you're better off finding a showcase or an event where they're going to play 15 innings, or you're going to play 3 games, or whatever it is. However it sets up, like, do that research on the front end. Like, if you're only gonna play 2 games and potentially play in the field for 6 innings, like, you legitimately might not get a ball hit to you in those 6 innings that you're in the field. So you're going to want to know that going in, like, these are things that most people are never going to think of, but that's what you should be researching and figuring out, not, Oh my goodness, look at all the coaches who are going to be at this event. I want to go to this one. Like, you're seeing all the bells and whistles, and it's look over here. And then, you're not really paying attention to the stuff that you should be paying attention to. So I think that there's you're going to want to know what that day looks like and how it breaks out and what it is like that you're going to be doing. Because you're right. If there's 150 kids at that event and there's 30 shortstops, like, the shortstop who runs a 6'6 is going to have a lot more eyes on him than the kid who runs a 7-0 and can flat out play the game, because everyone's going to see the numbers, be like, oh, he can run. Let's see what he does. And if you're the 7-0 kid who can really play, but you play shortstop for three innings and second base for three innings and you don't get a ball hit to you, it's like, what did we just do?
Ask people, talk. Some parents will, some people react to a showcase that ads suck because their kid didn't get recruited out of it. Like, I get that. But don't focus on that. Don't focus on the outcome. Focus on the organization of it. Focus on how it was run, tempo, quality, right? You can call us. Like, you want an honest opinion on it? We'll tell you. Like, we know all these events. Been to all of them. I have opinions on every single one of them. And they all have value to a certain extent, but you got to know. You got to try to make an educated, decision.
There's pros and cons to all of them.
Absolutely.
Like, there's no right or wrong answer in this entire thing. But I think the thing that you need to, if you're going through the recruiting process, the thing that you need to understand is that, when the cost of this stuff starts really piling up, like, you need to know that you're getting something out of this that is going to be worthwhile for you, not just cutting a check that's going to end up in someone's pocket and you don't get nearly what it was worth for you for the money out of that event.
And that goes for some of the tournaments too. I mean, we had a couple tough conversations with a couple kids earlier this spring about what their summer schedule is going to be. They had an opportunity to go to some bigger tournaments, or they had an opportunity to go to another tournament that was going to have more coaches that were going to be at the level that they needed to play at, schools that they should be interested in. And, some of those conversations are tough when you have to tell a kid, hey man, I know you want to go play in that big tournament, but nobody who is going to recruit you is going to be there. We need to get you somewhere else so that you can be in front of coaches that are going to be there. And in the moment, that's a tough conversation for some parents and the kid to stomach. But 6 weeks later, when they've got two offers from two schools that they love, they look back and go, I'm really glad that you told me that I shouldn't go to that tournament because now I got what I want.
Right.
And that's important too, because it's not about chasing the flashy thing. It's about chasing the thing that's going to end up with results. And knowing where you fit, knowing where you need to be, having somebody that is going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear, is how you get this process right. Especially the later you get in the process, the less wiggle room you have for BS, right? If you're 2025 right now, yes, shoot your shot, right? If you've got a school that you really like and somebody's giving you decent information, go to their camps this fall. But next June, if you're not getting recruited by anybody, you can't go chasing stuff because you want it. You need to have a plan. And honestly, if you have a plan throughout that's adjustable, that's malleable, that you can iterate over based on how you develop, based on feedback that you get, you put yourself in a situation where that the next June, when things start to heat up, it's not a scramble. You've already got a plan. You already know, hey, I got a shot at these schools over here. These are the schools that I know like me and I like them. And then these schools over here, pie in the sky. If you can get it down to that kind of a list, like, you have a chance at being really successful in this. But if you don't have any, I know I can play here because they like me, these schools have some interest, that's where I really want to go, and these schools are out on me. If you can't get that information, you're driving blind.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think that there's, there's a lot of things that go into this, your recruitment process. And I think the other side of it is, like, this has become a business, right? Like, we do it, obviously I think that we do it the right way, but, like, we're two people who have been through this on the other side. Like, I have no problem telling you the truth, in this process, but there's a lot of things that go into this, your recruitment, that are going to be convoluted that you need clarity on, and you need somebody to tell you the truth. And that's just, that's the reality of this and life. But it's a lot.
It always is. That's why we do the podcast. Hopefully we can spread a little bit of knowledge, at least be a people talking, right? Like,
right.
Have conversations, reach out to us. Hey, we might not be what you're looking for long term, but we're happy to answer questions. We're happy to connect with folks. It's why we do this. So anything else you want to add on those two topics, Coach?
I just to reiterate, you know, do your research and ask questions. I don't think that it's, you know, find people and ask the tough questions about any event it is that you're looking in to go to, because it's, if you're going to spend that amount of money, you're going to want to know everything it is that you're going to get out of it. Don't just blindly go spend money on this stuff. Make sure you reach out and ask questions about what pro events are good and where you should or shouldn't go.
Ditto. Well, I think we'll close it out for this evening, Coach. So for those of you watching on YouTube,
it's smash it.
Smash the subscribe button. Go ahead and follow us. If you don't like looking at our faces while we do this, listen to us. Listen to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. A new episode goes up every Thursday. You want to learn more about what me and Keith do, helping families and players navigate the recruiting process, go to emdbaseball.com and feel free to follow us on the socials at emdbaseball at both Twitter and Instagram. Thank you for listening. We'll talk again soon. Have a great night, Coach.
You too.